From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad, boys and girls. And if I feel and sound stressed, it's because I am. But that's not a story for Postcard from Poprad. I shall fight that little battle on my own. My name's Eric Wiltshire. I'm at the base of the Tatry Mountains here in the east of Slovakia in Poprad, which is why the programme's called Postcard from Poprad. As always, the team consists of some sanity and some insanity, and it depends which week we have when we look at the news, and so I just have to apologise in advance because I have no idea how it's going to go. In the zit of the nose of Europe, and looking at his nose on the picture, it's perfectly adequate as a description. Mr. Lee Banks.
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry it was a bit late this morning, chaps. But I was putting a potpourri in the cat in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah,
potpourri
right.
In the cat in the bathroom. That's,
right.
Sorry, Mark, that's country ways. I know you're a big city boy. Country ways. It's so stinky in the countryside.
Excuse me, I'm still doing the intros.
Mark, we're just having a chat while you were doing it.
Yeah, everybody else has gone to make a cup of tea now.
In Gay Paris.
I've got a coffee.
It's none other than the founder of the Consumer Action Group, Mark Gander.
Yes, goodbye, everybody. Yeah. This is my moment of insanity.
My moment of insanity. Lots of hellos to do this week, and growing numbers of them as well. It is birthday congratulations, and I did say on Facebook that we might sing.
Right.
Yeah.
We've not sung for ages, have we?
No, but we might. I'm not kind of sure yet. Anyway, it's Pandora's birthday this week, as it is James Kendall. Pandora, of course, wonderful rock show presenter and all-round good egg, and does tours and things as well these days as well. Right. James Kendall, Lucy Martin over in Bristol. He's 36 years old this week. Dick Offering, he's in Holland. Jay Moscata, I believe, is in America. Katerina, she's celebrating this week, and the absolutely glorious, wonderful, superb, really is an inspiration to everybody, Hannah Campbell, who suffered that enormous explosion in Iraq and got her way through it. You can hear an interview that she did for us on I'm trying to think when it was. It was about March, April time. But it's now on www.holidays4heroes, all one word. So it's www.holidays4heroes.com. Have a listen to Hannah's story. If ever you're having a bad day, you listen to that and you will be inspired for the rest, I promise you. My old shipmate, Chris Dannett, is 57 today. he's going to kill me. Marion is also celebrating. My niece is 25 years old. That's Cheryl this week. Jacqueline.
Should we sing for her?
Well, she'll go, no, don't do that, Uncle Eric. Jacqueline is also celebrating, as is Marek in Poprad. And we weren't going to say hello to Graham Wilson because his Facebook thing says his birthday's in August, but he assures me that it's Graham's birthday on the cusp this week. And finally, celebrating this week, it's Jan Talensky, who's over 21. And I'm saying no more.
I think we should sing for Mr. Talensky.
Well, how are we going to do all the names in one go?
Why, how many names has he got?
Well, no, but if we sing to one, we have to sing to all of them.
Yes.
Well, let's do a royal singing then for everybody.
Shall we try it?
Happy birthday, dear.
No, you have to start from the
Sorry. You have to count it in.
From the beginning.
Professional.
From the beginning. Three.
Up to how high?
Three, do one. Something like that. Go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear everybody. Happy birthday to you.
Sorry.
There's the insanity.
Yes, slightly.
it was like a clutch.
And we even put a nice little birthday card picture for everybody on Facebook who we've mentioned this week. We did indeed. This is a great story to start off with. And I have to say, the Brits are terrible at it. You don't do enough of it. And you should do. Because it's a way of fighting back. 57% of parking charges, 2009-2010, were overturned when drivers challenged them. So, the secret, boys and girls, is don't always believe it when you get a parking ticket, because sometimes they make glaring mistakes. And we'll identify some of those for you right now, won't we, Mark?
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is very interesting that this has come up, and people may know that I run the Consumer Action Group website, which deals with all sorts of consumer problems. And one of the things that comes up very frequently is this whole business of invalid parking tickets. And we're not talking about private parking tickets here. We're talking about parking tickets that you get on the high street, or speeding tickets, what have you. But high street parking tickets, or just ordinary parking tickets, quite amazing. The rules are very, very clear and very detailed, and also very strict about how parking bays have got to be marked out, how the yellow line's got to be there, and how the signage. And when I visited Camden, for instance, in London quite recently, I thought that I would have a hard job spotting some invalid parking bays. Well, I tell you what, I spent over an hour, and I had a hard job identifying any valid parking bays. It's just extraordinary. And if you park on an invalidly signed parking bay, then the ticket is invalid and you ought to claim the money back.
Let's just clarify something here, please, if we may. We're not suggesting on this program that if you park illegally and you know you do, that you screw the entire parking car system up by complaining about it. If you've done it wrong, just stick your hands up, pay the fine, it's your fault. But invariably, there are as many cases where stupid things are put up and stupid things are done. And, you know, like you're rushing into somewhere with somebody ill or sick. There are allocations for this. And there are sort of, not exactly privileges, but there are set guidelines that can help you out. And so in those environments, please do challenge them. Don't just accept everything.
Yeah. No, well, exactly. I'm going to come in a little bit more on that, Eric, because let me say that although I'm totally for the war against the motorists, quite frankly, okay? I mean, sure. I would like to see, really, cars almost disappear. In Tokyo, for instance, you have to show that you've got off-street parking before you're allowed to have a motor car, and I think that's a great idea. But still, the fact is that people come back from a little overstay or something like that. They come back to their vehicle, and they find that they've maybe going to suffer a fine of £80 or removal fees of £150. I mean, I find that it's so disproportionate that I think one has to fight back by asserting your strict legal rights. And so I'm sorry to say, Eric, although I don't advocate illegal parking. On the other hand, if you have made a mistake, if they've made a mistake, then
challenge
I call them to task for it. Challenge it. Absolutely.
Yes.
Why should you be able to beat the law by challenging on a technicality, though?
No, we're not saying that necessarily.
But you're using the law. I mean, they should be abiding by the law. And I mean, face it, these councils have got a huge number of resources to do the job correctly. And the law says this is the way that it's got to be laid out. And if it's not, then it's invalid. And if people come to the Consumer Action Group website, they can soon start to find out what is a valid bay and valid signage and what is not.
You can't have one rule.
The simple fact is, don't park illegally.
Well, that's right. But equally, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you're parking illegally, then the bay has got to be legally marked up. It cuts two ways.
Yes,
and I'm not suggesting that everybody should just go out and muck the system up by challenging everything. You know, just be a bit sensible about it, because there are many sensible cases where people have a couple of minutes. It's wrong that even people trying to put the shopping in the boot while the bloke's writing the ticket out the front, because it's like 30 seconds to go. That is ludicrous, and it should be challenged. And the Brits have got to start doing it.
About a year ago in the market town down the road from here, I actually did park illegally because I was just nipping into an off licence, surprisingly enough. And I'm going to be gone like, 2 minutes. And I parked on double yellow lines outside the shop. Yeah. Anyway, when I came out the shop, there was a copper standing there. Now, remember, this is a country copper. This is not like, you know, a big city copper. And he's standing there, looked at me, and he knew me.
Yeah.
He said, come over here to your car. And I said, all right. He says, look, everybody in the street can see me talking to you about the fact that you've parked illegally. And I said, yeah, all right. He said, so I'm going to have to at least look like I'm doing something. And he says, I would look like I'm doing something if you promise not to do this again. I said, fair enough, yeah, that's fine. He says, all right, I'll see you in the pub tonight. And that was it.
But
that was it. Now, that's a good way to handle it.
But you deserve to get nicked if you do it again.
Absolutely.
Good. We're agreed on that.
Yeah.
Just a bit of fun from Mark, who brought this beautiful subject up, which he found on the BBC website. And I'm going to let you intro it, Mark, and then we'll go down it and see if we can comply with any of it.
Well, are we talking about the male beauty contest?
Yes.
By women?
Yes.
Well, I have to say, I mean, it caught my eye. And, of course, I mean, it was a news piece because it's so unusual. Because, generally speaking, beauty contests seem to be run by women and, run by men who are judging the beauty of women. And I have to say, I don't like them. But this was this was very interesting because it was sort of very different. And also, it looks like it's a very long-standing cultural tradition in Africa. Actually, I rather thought that it was more interesting than ones we get in this country, because each female judge picks out her favourite man, and then the prize for the man is that he gets her as a lover, which I thought was pretty good. Maybe we ought to introduce that in this movie.
Yeah, I can see that going down.
But the kind of things that the women were looking for were that the men had to be tall and athletic. Ostrich plumes and pom-poms help to emphasise height, so that was sort of quite interesting. I might take some tips from that. a narrow face decorated with red ochre, wide eyes, black eyelid made from charred egret bones, so watch out the egrets.
Right.
Bad news for egrets.
Yes, yes.
An egret is a female eagle, isn't it?
Yes. Or is it a baby one?
That's what I mean, a baby eagle.
It's a baby eagle, yes.
I'll tell you, I mean, I'm not sure the World Wildlife people would be very happy with this.
No.
Facial symmetry. I mean, there were a list of things. I saw some of the pictures, and I have to say, the men were just amazingly elegant, and the whole pageant was really quite joyous, and I have to say, didn't seem to have any of the political undertones that I really don't like in our sort of Western
But you've forgotten to mention the last one, Mark. I think the last category is very good.
Hang on a minute. We're talking about the beaded dancers?
Yes, that's the one.
The final thing is they had to be a good dancer. Bead necklaces and bodices jangle against chest in time to the beat. Yes, that's right. I saw a picture of all these guys. They're really looking fabulous, but they all seem to be wearing well. I mean, one hears sometimes tribal people wear grass skirts. These people, these men, were wearing what I thought looked rather like grass bras.
Mm.
So
are you a good dancer then, Mark?
Oh, well, I mean, you hear my beaded necklace jangling and my bodice jangling. You know, Mr. Bojangles, that's me. I have to fight them off.
Gilds. But can you dance like in the Western style of ballroom dancing?
No, I can't.
Oh, dear. Okay, I'll shut up now then. Lee, are you good at dancing?
What, ballroom dancing?
Yes.
Only if I've got baggy pants on, dear.
Can you... Something to do with ballroom, obviously.
It was a cheap joke.
It was a cheap joke, yeah. But then, it's a cheap subject, isn't it?
Anyway, very quickly, let's move on as we rattle through a few bits. What was this thing about a dog in Haiti, Lee?
It's not much, really. It was just something that I saw. I don't know if you saw the picture. A dog called Leo. No reason for it, but it's called Leo.
Yeah.
Was photographed. It had been sitting by the grave of its owner, a woman called Christina Santana, who died in the... it was landslides in Brazil. Sorry,
yes.
I misread that.
Yeah.
And she's been buried there, and the dog, quite faithfully, has been sitting by her. And I just think it's the devotion of animals. Like, I know, you know, like, when I had a dog, I had a beautiful dog, and that, you could... obviously, I've never had a grey for him to sit next to, but the devotion that you got off that dog, and I just think, in a way, it told the whole story, because the sadness you could see in the dog's face, and you saw the real sadness of Brazil, told that one
actually,
picture.
which reminds me of a great story, and I want to compliment Sky News for doing something, because they've got a new offer to their viewers. And if you see something bad happening, you can report it, and their journalists will investigate it. And,
really.
It's a great initiative, and it's proper journalism doing something good. And
I missed who you said it was.
Sky News.
Oh, right, yeah. Right,
yeah. Sorry, yeah. And they one viewer had caught on his camera this oaf, idiot, this Neanderthal, who took this dog out for a walk and then proceeded to kick it and belt it. Mm. And Sky took the challenge, took it up with everybody, and he was arrested, and he was... actually, he went to prison at the end with other things that they caught him on as well. So congratulations to Sky News for that.
This and there you have the power of the media.
Television.
Did you say media?
I know, I couldn't help myself.
No, it's none of us said
radio. Ah, we see. As you will all know, boys and girls, because I go on and on about it, if you look at the EU studies and various other studies, the most trusted medium is radio. Moving along to this unbelievable story in the UK, which I understand, you know, I've got loads of mates who are gay, and that's fine. But this is about the hotel where the court ruling said that these two chaps went to the hotel. They're not married as these Christians see it, and mm-hmm. they are devout Christians. They said, sorry, you can't stay here. They took it to court to get loads of money, like 10 grand in compensation. The judge didn't award the 10 grand, but the law is such that they had to find in favour of the two guys, but he did give leave of appeal to the case in question, so it could go to a higher court, which apparently a Christian organisation is going to fund it, by the sound of it, to go to this higher court. Mm. And it begs.
I think they were awarded £1,800. Was it?
That's correct.
That's
yeah,
right, yeah.
Which I think was the smallest he could come up with. Now, what it brings to me is this is their business, their property, their home, their everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Why can a court then say, sorry, you can't do that?
That's it. It's a simple question. It's a simple question. It just is, whose rights are more important then?
Go on.
Well, I have to say that I've got some difficulty with this because, I mean, I can see both sides and I sympathise with both sides very, very much indeed.
I so
mean, the couple who went there wanted a good weekend. The couple who are running turning their home into a hotel are, you know, obviously they're inviting people into their home in some ways. Mm. I found it very, very difficult. But I have to say that if these people are running a hotel, they're running a business, they pay tax as a business, they're gaining various tax advantages as a business and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so doesn't that mean then that they accept, you know, certain standards and certain rules in the running of their hotel, very much in the way that maybe if we were, for instance, talking about people's right to not to be exposed to sort of the public gaze, if they're in the public eye,
mm-hmm.
Lee was sort of suggesting last week that if you are in the public eye, then it could be said that all of your life then is legitimately an open book. And I'm just wondering whether the same thing doesn't apply here. I find it very difficult.
Yeah,
it's very simple, really, in this case, isn't it? This couple, it is their own house. They are allowed.
This is a bed and breakfast rather than a hotel,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's a B&B.
Yeah,
and
they've
got it for 25 years. Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, so what? But that doesn't mean that you have to break your moral standards. What your moral standards? I've got to hold my hand up here and say I have, as everybody will know, I have nothing at all against gay people. Gay is gay and gay is right and should be respected as heterosexuality is.
Mm.
But these people have a right to have in their house who they want. And mm-hmm. the simple fact is they didn't say to these people, you can't come in. What they said is, it's in our own views, we would prefer it if you didn't share a double bed, mm-hmm. which is fine. A mm-hmm. lot of people, you know, don't want unmarried couples. I don't think they wanted unmarried couples.
No, they didn't want unmarried heterosexual couples either.
Yeah. So no, I can't see that they've done anything wrong. And like Eric said before, for this the couple who were visiting, Stephen and Martin, to actually go to court. I'm not sure they went entirely for financial reasons, but to take such a small incident where they could have just gone around the corner and got into another hotel. So mm-hmm. they focused on this hotel and to embarrass this couple and pillory them.
Mm-hmm.
And although somebody's going to be paying the bill for this couple, hopefully, mm-hmm. To fight this case, it does seem wrong that somebody used a court to try and impose their sexuality on a couple who weren't opposed to their sexuality but just didn't want them committing the act in their own home. that's fine.
Well, I think if you run a hotel, then I think it ceases to become your home. I mean, I think that for those purposes, you know, presumably in their home there are private areas and then there are the business areas. I mean, I think what could be the acceptable compromise is that, you know, is that they make it very clear at the outset, in other words, in their advertising.
It is actually in their advertising and on their website.
Was it before the case?
Yes.
It was.
Yes.
So I understand that their terms and conditions of trading, which is where I come up with, this is my sort of stance on it. If the terms and conditions are XYZ, then they're the terms and conditions.
Yes.
If it is that they had not put that you cannot have couples with a polka dot coloured chihuahua in the bag, then,
well, that's very reasonable.
That's tough. But you know, they did actually state this. It was a public. It's in the public domain that they stated it, and yet somebody chose to ignore it.
Did
the couple just ignore it?
They actually. Well, if they checked out, most people will check. If they go into a hotel, will check a website out to see what it's about. I'm not saying for a second this is what they did, but it is feasible that couples in this situation, particularly if they're slightly activist, I'm not saying these two are, but would actually go there deliberately to get themselves chucked out.
Yes, well, I think if that was the purpose of the visit, then I think...
Well, yeah, I'm not saying for a second that these two were doing that.
Sure.
But this is the sort of thing that really, you know, a gay couple, you look at a site, you know, I'm 6'5" and 16 and a half stone with long grey hair. If I saw something saying that, I think, well, I'm going away for a weekend, saying, you know, if they don't really want 6'5", 16 stone, long-haired hippies in, then I won't go there. I'll go somewhere where I'm accepted.
Where I'd get a warmer reception as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah. Okay, let's move along. This gagging order thing keeps coming up, and Lee's brought it up again this week.
Well, yeah, it's just one of those situations, isn't it, where the couple, a celebrity couple, have gone to court yet again to get a story banned, held over. The press can't say who they are, can't say what they were doing. Now, the thing is that the way they went to court was to say that it would not ruin their lives if it came out. It would ruin the life of the woman that was involved with them sexually.
Right.
Now, in the court actually said that this woman does not really have victim status, and yet went on and banned the story. It's reaching impossible proportions now, and no, Mark doesn't agree, and Eric sort of sits on the fence a bit, but very simply, the right for the world to know what is going on is getting eroded day by day by new laws that are being brought in that say the press can't tell you that. Well, who's got the right to decide that? A court? An old judge who doesn't want his own past exposed? What is it all about? the rich and the powerful. All right, forget the rich.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say the powerful. And celebrities are powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Let's forget about rich. Let's say a judge who's powerful, a politician who's powerful, are now getting to the position where they can do what they want with absolute immunity.
Well, I have to say the next story coming up actually kind of flies in the face of all that, Lee, because and China is going to be, as it goes, quite heavily featured this week. And this is one of the things that I spoke about with Dr. Ma on the station a couple of weeks ago, that the bad press for China is actually outweighing the positive press, and that's because the press is positively negative.
I'm just like, I don't know how to answer that. Really. You know, we just say things as they appear to be at that particular moment. But yeah, China is a burgeoning nation. It's coming. We talked about China last week again. But it's a burgeoning nation. It's coming out there. It's actually doing something positive and powerful.
Yeah.
But Not even the Chinese would deny that in the background there have been problems. There have been strange things have happened in China. And so, obviously, any commentator, whether it's press, media, anything, will look at a country like that and will try to analyse how things have changed since the past. And that if that's viewed as negative, well fine, so be it.
But I think we are in 2011 now, chaps.
Yeah, and we're getting a lot of positive stuff.
And I think the truth is, if you take President Hu the from China, he was saying in the US this week, which a few years ago, you know, when I was a wee lad, if you'd have thought about the notion of the president of China being in Washington with the president of the US and all being friendly and saying cheers to each other before the dinner, you'd have sort of gone, what? But today...
There's your negativity coming in. A few years ago, it was something that wouldn't be seen. Now,
correct,
it is something that's being seen, and it's changing the world, and you're getting a lot of positive press about it.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, the things that in the past have come forward, because you need to give a fuller picture.
So maybe the answer is that the some of the media is slightly out of sync with the world, and to quote from Mr. Hu yet again, because there is now a link between Chicago and China, and he said, despite the great distance between Chicago and China, our hearts are linked together by friendship. But the one thing he added at the end of it was that clearly he does not want to be in any form of arms race. And he actually said, we're not a military threat to any country. And they won't seek to expand on that. But he does say also that the one thing that works, and Dr. Ma said the same thing, that you've got to understand what other people are doing. And when you start kind of like work together, it's amazing how many things you can do.
Of course it is. Yeah. That's the beauty of what's happening, particularly if you look at the way China is now taking up debt in Europe.
Well, yeah.
I hope that works.
Yeah.
I hope that works well for us.
And I think the really poignant bit was the comment made about when two nations considered each other's interests, that's when smooth and steady growth will happen. And he's quite right,
absolutely.
You know.
Of course he is. Absolutely.
Absolutely
yeah,
is.
The only comment to come in on that, of course, is to remind you that, I mean, things do change.
Yes.
China's announced they're not seeking arms race or dominance. Well, I'm very relieved to hear it, because if they were, I think we'd be in terrible trouble.
Well, yeah.
This is not the first East-West stores China-America contact that's happened. I think that Richard Nixon, one of his great successes actually, was to strike up amazingly good relations with China. And since then, of course, they've been up and down, up and down. At the moment, they're trying to bring them up again after a difficult period.
Sure.
You know, this is what they're saying at the moment. This is not anti-Chinese, by the way. This is really just the way that world politics go and world relations go. You know, it looks very good at the moment, but of course, who knows what a Chinese leader or an American leader is going to say in 10 years' time or 15 years' time or 25 years' time.
I couldn't agree with you more, but there again, we'll leave it there, because we're at the end of part one, a postcard from Pop Rap Boys and Girls. When we come back in part two, it's the bank saying sorry whilst at the same time giving out £270,000 to their blokes. Marvellous, isn't it? This is Postcard from Pop Rap.
RTI.